episode 74 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Lindsay. In our industry, things start picking up right after Christmas. People are done with the holiday rush, getting ready to file taxes, and begin to look forward to the year ahead. We spoke last week about the importance of taking that time off, so this week we thought we'd help you decide where to go. We get requests from all over the world, and we wanted to start talking about what trends we're seeing this year, for summer in particular. So let's get started. Well, I have, majority of my requests for this summer have been Disney World and Hawaii.
Which opposite ends.
Totally, yeah. Totally unrelated. So why do you think people want to, let's talk about Disney World first. Why do people want to go to Disney World this summer? I know the answer. It's a rhetorical question, sort of, but yeah. You guys answer it.
School's out. Yeah. And I think of us living here in the Southeast, everybody just goes to Disney at some point. You know, it's
like the Myrtle Beach.
It's like not every year like we go, but yeah, pretty much everybody will go. So eventually, although I'm going with my daughter for her chorus trip next month in April, and I'm surprised that the kids that are going with us that I'm chaperoning have not been, or they haven't been since they were like an
infant. Not everyone gets to go. I mean, yeah. I think they're, yeah, it's
not everyone's as lucky as us.
Yeah.
No, it's very I thought everyone went. I mean, I seriously thought that.
A lot of reason to avoid Disney in the summer is because of heat. And so then the other trend you're seeing is Hawaii. Isn't that kind of funny?
Yes.
Although I think it's important to know that Hawaii is not as hot as you think it is. The sun is shining and you will get a sunburn to kill you, but there's a breeze blowing all the time. That tropical breeze is just lovely. Mm-hmm. So.
But you were there in December.
I've been there. I was actually there in June the first time. Okay. I assure you. Robin and I were actually talking today about whether or not you needed air conditioning when you were in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I say no. Apparently Robin's husband says yes.
Yeah, right?
I say that my husband is not going to go someplace somewhat tropical without air conditioning. So,
do you guys remember when we were doing that walking tour in Miami and they were talking about the buildings down there in South Beach and how the older ones were built so that the air could go through them, like straight through, and mm-hmm. because they didn't have air conditioning? Now, I think Miami totally needs air conditioning.
I would agree with you on that. Yeah. But honestly, there's always a wind blowing in Hawaii, and we would sleep with the screen closed and the window and the door open, and not run the air conditioning, and it was lovely. And I miss that. Because there's also, that's the other thing, we live in the Southeast, and at this time of year, if you leave your windows open, your whole house will be coated in yellow pollen.
My poor oldest son cannot open his eyes some mornings. It's so bad. The pollen gets the same.
Even with all those flowers and everything there, it all gets blown away and doesn't land on you. And
is it buggy in Hawaii?
Well, that's why I had the screen closed. I actually don't know. I would imagine that there are bugs.
So, yeah. It is. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not any more buggy than it is here.
Yeah. I know there's mosquitoes because there were signs up about the mosquitoes. We actually talked about that on a previous episode about the Zika virus and other mosquito-borne illnesses and how Hawaii is preparing for that.
Right. So to piggyback on Disney World, I think it's worth mentioning that Disneyland is extending their 60th Diamond Celebration into this year too. So you have until like September if you want to check that out, and you should. If you can, you should.
Anaheim is a lot nicer.
Oh yeah,
in the summer
it gets cool at night, and yeah, you need like a sweatshirt at night sometimes down there.
Not the humidity, but it's the humidity in Florida that
exactly
that just chokes you.
Yeah,
I'm getting a lot of clients that are heading down, taking advantage of the extended celebration mm-hmm. at Disneyland.
And I think California actually has a lot to offer. And, you know, we're talking about trends. I will say most of my requests for California have actually been in the spring this year so far. However, call me if you want to go this summer, because it is actually a great, and if you want to do sort of the Disney trip, I guess I'm now recalling the Griswolds and Wally World and all that. That's your typical family vacation, right? If you want to go to Disneyland, and see that with your family over the summer, it is a good time to go to Disneyland. And then you could incorporate the rest of California into that trip. Go to Northern California where it is cooler. Mm-hmm. It might not be, I'm not going to guarantee that, but your chances of it being cooler, and you can go to Walt Disney Museum, but you can also see, you know, San Francisco, and you can see Monterey, and, you know, you can really enjoy, and the national parks.
Yeah. Yosemite.
I have three families who were going and doing Southern California. And they're using Anaheim as their home base, and they're doing day trips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, because you got the beach, and you can do some Hollywood.
You can do some Hollywood, yeah. So you can be really touristy, and then you can be really relaxy, and then you can... And honestly, you can even drive to Las Vegas from there and gamble. So you really...
flying to Las Vegas for an extra night or two on their way home.
That sounds perfect.
I clearly one of my favorite summer trips when I was, I just done a production of Anything Goes for my community theater. And then we packed up and we went to California for, I think it was 2 weeks. And we started in Los Angeles and we went to Disneyland. We went to Universal Studios and then we went to Las Vegas. And then we took a day trip down to the Grand Canyon, which is doable. But I don't necessarily, my father like decided that he had made a mistake in doing that. And maybe we should have actually taken that a little bit longer, but it was beautiful. And then we drove actually a little bit of Pacific Coast Highway, went to Big Sur and all that. And then up to San Francisco. And that's where we ended our trip. And I loved that trip. It was fantastic. And we went in August, which is really hot here. So, and it was nice.
The last couple times I've been to LA have been August and it was like the last time when we got off the plane and it was really late and had to wait forever to get our rental car and the winds just coming in from, I don't know how close LAX is to the coast, but, I guess it's pretty close.
Yeah.
But it's just, it felt like we were standing at the beach, you know, and I had to like dig out the sweatshirts out of the luggage and stuff because it was cold. And then we also went to Yosemite on that trip and had to buy like blankets and stuff because they don't give them to you when you're glamping. So they want you to buy them.
I have a couple this summer that's also doing the Canadian Rockies, and that's a nice summer trip.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you really want to get away from the heat, that's a great way to do it. You know, and another way to actually, I send a lot of people to Europe. This summer, I have several people going to Europe. And I won't say you can beat the heat. I do have a couple people looking at Greece. Somebody already booked. And I've been to Greece in July, and I remember the Isle of Lindos. It was 110 degrees in the shade. It was really hot. So it does get really warm there, but it's a dry heat.
Makes all the difference.
And you're in Greece, so who cares? You're drinking a lot of wine. And, but Europe actually is a great summer destination. That is season for Europe. So, but you're likely to, if you want to go to England, you're less likely to have rain every day of your trip. Just some of them, depending on where you're going in England and Scotland as well. August is the Fringe Festival. So, and this year I'm seeing a lot more Europe requests for the summer. People are wanting to take their families because we're starting to see, and again, not promising anything, but we're starting to see airfare drop a little bit. And it's...
I remember last year the news being that the euro and the dollar were almost even. So is that what you're seeing?
The euro is definitely much stronger. Unfortunately, it doesn't fix the airfare, you know, because Delta is still going to charge whenever Delta is going to charge. Or United or American. Sorry, don't mean to pick on Delta, but they haven't been really quick to lower their prices. However, the land portions, yes. And I've even seen where sometimes hotel prices will go down because, you know, from the time I quote them to the time, because the euro gets a little bit weaker in those few days. Again, no promises, but the nice thing about booking a trip through us is we'll usually use some sort of provider that has contracted rates. So you can pay in US dollars and you don't have to deal with the fluctuation. And it's a good trade. It's not like, you know, if you know the euro is a little bit weaker, then maybe you're like, well, why would I want to pay in US dollars? But you're not paying any foreign transaction fees. And you're also not paying once you get there when maybe the exchange rate is different from what it was today.
Yeah. And you know what you're paying. That doesn't change.
Yep. Yeah. So it is. I mean, it's still not the cheapest trip you're going to take for a summer vacation, but summer is a good time to go to Europe. Everything is open. Everything is running. You know, it is season. And it's certainly not as crowded as some places you could go in the summer.
I was going to say, let's jump back over to this side of the pond and talk. I've been getting a lot of requests for national parks this year, and I'm not sure if it's because of the 100 year celebration or people are just thinking.
Because we did a podcast on it and everybody wants to go.
And we got the word out and now everyone's calling us. But yeah, national parks are hot and they are hard to get into. If you want to do it, you need to start planning because those lodges fill up big time.
To be fair, you probably should have started planning a few months ago, but yeah.
Sometimes lucky, a year ago. Yeah, maybe really we talk about next summer.
Yeah, but if you are really flexible, you can still do it. And yeah, it is, again, anything like that is hot for summer because it's something that the whole family can do together, and yeah. It really builds memories. You know, those national parks, remembering when you see Yosemite or when you see Old Faithful or Mount Rushmore, any of that.
I have a family going to Punta Cana this summer mm-hmm. and doing all-inclusive there because, you know, most kids are off during the summer. You get a lot of different types of family trips. And they wanted an all-inclusive where the kids were going to be able to have as much fun as the parents would.
Yeah.
Which one are they going to? Do you remember?
Hard Rock.
Oh,
woohoo! Nice. That's a good one. Yeah. And I have two families going to Generations, Riviera Maya, which is also a really strong candidate for families. And I am seeing that trend too. I think a lot of people, in fact, I just got a call today, an email, I guess it's all the same, about an all-inclusive for the summer vacation. And the big thing was it needs to have a really good kids club, a really good kids program. And it's not that parents want to not see their kids, but they want to be sure their kids have a good time and yeah. really remember it.
There's a Nickelodeon resort opening mm-hmm. in Punta Cana too. Mm-hmm. So that's another one.
Yeah. I actually sort of mentioned that to her as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's such an easy thing to do too, because again, it sort of gets back to knowing what you're paying for. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and pay for it all up front, and then you get down there and you don't have to worry about opening your wallet every 5 minutes mm-hmm. and being nickel and dime, depending. And I will say, you know, all inclusives do come in lots of sizes and shapes. And the less you spend on your all inclusive up front, the more you're going to spend out of pocket. All inclusive doesn't always mean all inclusive. And sometimes more things are included. So you really need to think about what you want to do on your vacation. And if you really are going to sit in a deck chair the whole time and not do anything, then you might be able to go a little bit lower budget. But if you really are wanting to do some activities and things like that, then you have to up your budget a little bit to prepay for that.
All inclusives are not all created equal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, and don't forget when you're budgeting for your all-inclusive that you have to get there. Sometimes airfare is more expensive than you think it is. So yeah. You always, before you choose your all-inclusive, you might want to look at airfare first, because it's all well and good to say, oh, I hear Punta Cana is really inexpensive, which incidentally, it has a range. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yes, okay, there are some less expensive resorts in Punta Cana. Same with Mexico. I can assure you it's way cheaper to fly into Cancun than it is to fly into Punta Cana for most places. And here in the Southeast, there's a lot of times where you have to fly north before you fly south.
Oh, I know. Those connections through New York.
Yes. And Philadelphia.
Like, why? Why are we doing that? It makes no sense. It
makes no
now,
sense.
Now, Lindsay, where are you going this summer?
I am going to Cuba.
Oh, the president was just in Cuba.
Is that a trend yet? I don't know if we can call that a trend. As we record this, the president is there. Yeah. I actually got a request for it today, too.
Yeah. It is, I think it's going to be just been a lifelong aspiration of my own to go, and I'm really excited. I'm doing a cruise with Fathom, and it's one of the, I guess, travel is very new. It's very regulated right now. So what they're doing is people-to-people trips. So if you have a purpose, if you're going there for a reason, if you're going there to make a connection to the culture and to the people, you can go. You can find opportunities right now. But if you want to go and kind of sit on the beach and do nothing for a week, it's still kind of not the... not open.
They don't want us there doing that.
Yeah, which is actually the request I got today. So I'm having to think about how to respond.
Yeah, you have to reshape that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Even with the whole reason the president was there was to talk about making it easier, but it's still not just going and laying on the beach. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you're still having to make that, to arrange your trip so that you are doing some kind of volunteerism every day or some kind of connection. But they do some cool things. Like you can go to people's houses and eat, you know, like there's families that will cook meals. They have like restaurants in their houses and things like that. So, I mean, I'm all about Cuba too, Lindsay. I'm very jealous about that.
Well, okay. And I'm kind of cheating here and reading there. The Americans can go to Cuba only if the trip falls within 12 categories. Mm-hmm. So visiting relatives, academic programs, professional research, journalistic or religious activities, participation in public performances or sport competitions, professional event or competition. And of course, all of these extra, the brand new programs through Fathom, where you can go over and actually travel with a purpose. You're making that connection with the people and getting to experience their culture on a different level. And I really think it's a fantastic way to see the world and to be more of a traveler, not a tourist.
Yeah. I think that appeals to people too on a different level, because somebody posted an article about it, about Fathom actually, on one of our local moms groups on Facebook. And the article, or it was a blog, was about, how they had been to the Caribbean and they felt a little funny going to this really nice resort when you could see that there were the people who lived there were very poor, you know, and you see this poverty around you, but then you go through these gates and you're in this lavish resort. And, this was something that was appealing because you can take your kids and they can kind of see a little bit more of how the world works and, things like that. So, well, one of the cool things, though, I think about Cuba is it's kind of like, my impression of it is that it's kind of locked in time. Like the Wi-Fi is not great yet. They don't take credit cards, you know. So you really got to do some planning to go there. But I think it's going to be very cool.
Well, this is nothing new. I mean, we sell destinations every day where, you know, if you're going to go climb Everest, it's not going to be the lap of luxury. And we have options in a lot of different places where you can do ecotourism and voluntourism. And so it's not necessarily a new concept. It's just, you don't have it with Cuba. You don't really have an option. It's really the only way you can go at this point. So,
give Fathom another shout out. They offer another opportunity, which I would love to one day add to my list as well, to go to the Dominican Republic. And it's kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a bunch of reviews on that and videos of people who are talking about their trips and their experiences and the lives that they were able to help while they were there. I mean, watched a video where they put a floor in someone's house, and going to the paper factory and learning how paper's made there, and just different things that you can do to enrich. And I think it's a great, wonderful experience for people who have children, who are to teach them kind of about how you can have this wonderful experience, and you can do something to help others. And that's way more of a, I don't want to say it's a better experience, but it's definitely different than the traditional vacations.
Another place that you can do that is Jamaica. They, any place where there's a Sandals has that program where you can take, like school supplies to donate with you on your trip, and you can, actually visit a school while you're there and stuff. But the Jamaican Tourism Board also does that. And if you are interested, no matter where you're staying in Jamaica, we can set you up with a local family that you can visit and things like that. So we could do a whole podcast on voluntourism.
We could. Write that down.
Yeah.
So one of the other really unique destinations I've actually gotten a quote request for this summer was Dubai. And in my research, it's actually a really hot place to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Not just temperature wise, but this summer. At first I was like, Dubai, why would you, it's going to be triple digits. It's going to be, but you can go skiing indoors.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world's largest mall is there. They have a big festival in the summertime coming up. So it's kind of, there's, more than the lap of luxury kind of thing that I was maybe predisposed to.
And Emirates actually makes it really easy to get there.
Yeah. One of my friends went there on a business trip by herself. And, I thought it was interesting that they have taxis driven by women for women who are there for like business or whatever. And, they're pink. So if you're a woman traveling there, you look for the pink taxis. Yeah.
That's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlander.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. Or you can even email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, our amazing engineer and editor Heidi, and myself, Robin, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.